When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/audioboom.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome to Fantasy Sports Today here on Sports Grid. Great to be with you on this Wednesday morning. I'm Craig Mish, along with Davis Maddock. We've got lots to get to here on the show. Of course, recapping the NBA Eastern Conference Finals game last night. We'll have a preview of the West, play a little DFS action as well. So make sure you stay with us for our preview of the upcoming PGA Championship. It starts tomorrow. But Davis, great way to begin. Of course, in the NBA Eastern Conference Finals, some sort of back and forth in terms of players in and out of that game yesterday between Miami and Boston. Miami opened up as a 2-point favorite late in the day that we found out that Smart was going to be out for them. And then we found out Al Horford was going to be out for Boston as well. But it didn't really affect Boston in the first half. But the third quarter was another story. And Jimmy Butler and company get the job done.
They did. I think Eric Spoelstra, frankly, just outcoached M.A. Udoka, which no shame, right? M.A., it's his first year as a coach. Spoelstra, in my opinion, and I think your opinion too, is the best coach in the NBA. He just sets his guys up to succeed. He is able, I think probably because of his time as a video coordinator, able to see what's happening on the floor in the first quarter, the first half, and make the necessary adjustments. Jimmy Butler, is getting the headlines here, but my guy, Tyler Herro, he kind of kept them in it in the first half. I think he had 18 points in the first half, so kind of kept them afloat when Boston was making their run. And I think this is going to be a good series, assuming that Smart is able to come back for game two and Horford is going to be able to come back by game three. If Horford has to stay on the COVID, what is the NBA called? The IL. If he's out for four games or whatever, having to play Daniel Theis and really rely on Grant Williams doesn't feel great for the Celtics.
Yeah, we'll see. And certainly Miami definitely at least proved themselves in game one. Game two will be tomorrow night. Let's get to our headlines here on the show. On this Wednesday, we've got the Orlando Magic winning the NBA draft lottery. They will have the number one overall pick in the 2022 NBA draft. So congratulations to them. Jimmy Butler and the Miami Heat, they take game one. Of course, we just discussed that here on the show. Nate Eovaldi had one of the tougher games you will see from a starting pitcher in Major League Baseball last night. He gave up 5 home runs to the Houston Astros in the first inning. My gosh, the Red Sox have had a tough year. And unfortunately, Salvador Perez heads to the injured list after suffering a thumb sprain. Davis, the Royals fired their hitting coach, Bradshaw. They're basically trying to find out if hiring a new guy is going to solve their problems. I don't know that it will. Perez is going to be out for a period of time as well. But I guess, what are your thoughts on the Magic winning the lottery here? I mean, this is obviously, when you have the first pick overall, it's a really big deal. I was sort of going through some research today. It seems like there's a possibility of like two guys that could go number one overall to them. How do you see it?
Yeah, it sounds like Paolo Banchero and Chet Holmgren are the two guys in contention to go first overall. My Oklahoma City Thunder did not win the lottery. They got second in the lottery. Mm-hmm. Kind of interesting to think about Chet Holmgren and Pokusevski playing together, you know, 2 7-foot guys, super gangly, would just be, and both of them, you know, can shoot a little bit, which I think would be sort of interesting. Doesn't seem that anyone believes that there is a, you know, an Anthony Davis, a Zion Williamson, a LeBron, like a guy who kind of immediately makes you like a 40 win team just by adding his presence. And you do kind of just have to feel bad for whoever the Magic take number one. It feels like the Magic are the most anonymous team in professional sports. Like, guys just go there and their careers are like Jonathan Isaac, Mo Bamba, Markelle Fultz gets traded from the 76ers to the Magic after he forgets how to shoot. So it's like the Magic win the lottery and we'll never hear from whoever they take first overall again.
Yeah, I mean, look, they had an unbelievable run. Let's not forget with Shaquille O'Neal for a few years and then Penny Hardaway and then Tracy McGrady. But yeah, right now the Magic is sort of in that mode of, yeah, who do they have? You know, who's good on the team and what's the future? But at the very least, they'll have the number one overall pick, no doubt about that. Real quick, I mean, 5 home runs, Davis, in one inning. And by the way, in the first inning for Nathan Eovaldi, these Red Sox, man, I mean, I don't know. I mean, I know we're only 20% of the season in, but it sure feels like they're going the other way.
Yeah, which is what we said before the start of the season last year. Remember, you and I were really short on the Red Sox. We were like, who's going to throw the ball for them? And the offense was so good that it didn't really matter last year, but I think it's definitely catching up to them this year. By the way, you know, this is some bias from Brett setting up the rundown. My Colorado Avalanche, they were all over the St. Louis Blues last night. Of course, George was on the show with us yesterday, and I was like, George, I'm there. Yeah. I'm watching. They end up, I believe they had 45 shots on goal in regulation. Wow. But they ended up having to go to overtime and winning in overtime. But it was a really good game between the Blues and the Avalanche.
Yeah, well, the Florida Panthers did not win their first game. They lost to the Tampa Bay Lightning. And they'll play the next game tomorrow. All right, so let's take a quick time out right here on
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/audioboom.
Fantasy Sports Today. Coming up next, it's time for us to dive into tonight's lineup. It's a one-game slate, unfortunately. It's a Western Conference Finals. We've got Golden State tonight taking on Dallas. We'll see if we can pick a winner there. And also set a DFS lineup for you. And then in 10 minutes from now, make sure you stay right here on Fantasy Sports Today because Dubs Anderson is going to join Davis. They're going to give you the picks for the upcoming PGA Championship. It all begins tomorrow morning. Stay on the grid for that. We'll be right back here on Fantasy Sports Today. Don't go away.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Well, last night we had the Eastern Conference Finals. Tonight we move on to the West. Of course, the Dallas Mavericks are one of the surprise teams that have a chance to get to the NBA Finals. They're on the doorstep here. Of course, they have a 7-game series. They got to beat Golden State. You know, certainly it's going to be, I think, a very interesting series in the sense that the Warriors are pretty much Dave's overwhelming favorites in this one. And before we get to the DFS lineup tonight, you know, sort of how do you see the series going? You know, there are a lot of people who are picking Dallas to upset Golden State. I know more or less it's going to have to be a 1 or 1.5 or maybe even a 2-man show for Dallas. But, you know, simply put, it's pretty obvious what the Warriors need to do to win this series.
Well, I think the most interesting thing about this series is that you would assume that the Warriors as title favorites probably were, you know, a well-oiled machine on offense. And that really has not been true. They were only the 8th best team in 3-point percentage during the year. They were the 26th ranked team in getting to the line. They don't rebound particularly well because they play small so often. Kevon Looney and Draymond Green actually had to play together against Memphis in Game 6 because Steven Adams and Jaren Jackson Jr. were just destroying them on the boards. That will be alleviated a little bit against the Mavericks because they're not going to play a traditional big at all. Dwight Powell will start the game, but probably not even come in the second half. It'll be Maxi Kleba who will start the second half. At least that's what they were doing in the Phoenix Sun series, but their defense is so good. The Warriors' defense is unbelievable, which you wouldn't really think, right? Like, oh, you know, they're playing Steph Curry, but everyone else is phenomenal. Draymond, Defensive Player of the Year. Andrew Wiggins, phenomenal defender. Klay Thompson, a really good defender. You know, Otto Porter Jr., a really good defender. And I think what is going to be a matchup I'm very interested to see is Andre Iguodala didn't play in the Grizzlies series. He was out with an injury. If he is able to come back, I think Iguodala, maybe the smartest defender in the NBA, maybe the smartest defender in NBA history. He's so good. Iguodala versus Doncic is going to be like a prize fight. You know, I mean, that is just going to be must-see TV. I don't think the Mavericks can get it done. But if Luka, we talked about this in the last series, right? Like Luka doesn't really have his signature moment yet. I think he definitely did in Game 7. Just, you know, there's that photo of him laughing at Devin Booker that I think is really good. But if Luka, you know, averages 41 points a game, you know, just kind of like LeBron against the Pistons in his third year, if he does that, you know, because he probably is the best player in the series at this point in his career, he probably is better than Steph Curry.
Yeah, I mean, probably so. Interesting defensively how they'll try and stop him for sure. All right, so that being said, over at DailyRoto.com, Davis and his team are helping you set a lineup tonight in Daily Fantasy, and you can get that information for free. You can also check it out right here, as we're going to show you. Here are some possibilities that you can use tonight in this one-game slate over on DraftKings. We've got Dorian Finney-Smith. He's priced at $10,200. Luka Doncic is 13,400. Maxi Kleba is 5,000. Otto Porter, 4,600. And then we're going back to the Warriors here for Klay Thompson and Andrew Wiggins. I should also make it clear that you have Dorian Finney-Smith in the captain spot. And for people who have never played before, Davis, I think maybe a little explanation on that, on what that means. People may have no clue on that one.
Yeah, so we are looking at single game showdown on DraftKings, which I actually, I think it's sort of like a controversial opinion. I actually really like the single game stuff. I like the single game stuff for soccer. I love the single round stuff for golf. I think it's a really interesting format because, it, you know, it really does kind of become more of a meta game about not only how owned are people going to be, but how owned are guys going to be together. And, you know, certain players would negatively correlate. You know, for example, Otto Porter Jr. and Andrew Wiggins, they play, you know, theoretically the same position, so they would maybe negatively correlate, but does that mean people are going to play them less together? So I think all of that stuff is just very interesting. So the captain slot, very simple. That the guy's salary is times by 1.5, and his points are multiplied by 1.5. The reason why I'm going with Dorian Finney-Smith and the captain, and I have repeatedly made this point throughout the course of the Mavericks playoff run, which is just that they really cannot win if he does not play well. He is sort of the bellwether for their team. He has to be locked in defensively, And they get a huge boost when he plays well offensively. For example, he scored 24 points in game 4 against the Phoenix Suns. That was kind of the game where the Suns had the chance to go up 3-1. Had they lost that game, they probably don't get here. And Finney Smith had his best game of the playoffs, and it kind of pushed them to that 10-point win. And also, he's kind of... he's a guy they really need against the Warriors because I think he's going to spend time on Klay, he's going to spend time on Wiggins, and he's going to spend time on Curry. And I do wonder, if we're talking about playoff surprises, I wonder if Jason Kidd just starts him at center and, or him and Kleba together in the front court. Because if Kevon Looney does start for the Golden State Warriors, you do not need to guard him. Right, Maxi Kleba can hang out on him. Jalen Brunson can go put in. I mean, Kevon Looney, if you set the over-under for how many dribbles he's going to take in game one, it might be like 3.5 dribbles. So I think that is an interesting angle. No way that I'm not playing Luka Doncic. I think he's going to average like 32.5 field goal attempts per game in this year. I mean, his arms are going to get tired from getting so many shots up because the Warriors are going to have to, what they're going to do is he's going to hunt Steph Curry as much as possible. And that's a great matchup for him. Right. Otto Porter Jr. was injured in the last series, but he's a really key part of their rotation, especially while they are waiting for Andre Iguodala to get back. My guess would be he is going to play over Jonathan Kuminga in this series. Kuminga started a couple games against the Grizzlies. It did not go particularly well. Kuminga's a rookie. He's got a lot to learn. Otto Porter Jr., he's just a vet. He knows how to get things done. And it's always kind of hard to try and fit the two studs. So fitting Steph and Doncic couldn't quite make it work. So I do really like getting Klay Thompson in here because, look, Klay Thompson can go for 50 any given night. If he is feeling it, if he's in the rhythm, there's nothing you can do with Klay Thompson.
You know, I was watching some of the game interviews, practice interviews for this week. And Davis, I guess Dallas did a really good job on Steph Curry the last time they played, but it was like so long ago. And, you know, I'm just not, can you correlate anything when teams like this play like 2-3 months ago to anything that could happen in the finals, or you just throw those games away?
No, I mean, I definitely think you can find results. I mean, I don't know if I would be betting on things as a result of those games, yeah. But I think the more interesting thing is to kind of try to get in the mind of Steve Kerr, for example. So if Steve Kerr goes into this series knowing that the Mavericks did do a good job on Steph Curry, he can go and watch that film and be like, okay, well, why? Did Steph just miss his open shots? Was he getting put into uncomfortable positions? Because that's a big thing with shooters that we don't necessarily hear about all the time. But like, guys have spots on the floor they like to shoot from, and if a team gets them off those spots, they can kind of struggle.
Okay, and then as we close it out here, Warriors -5 or Dallas tonight. Also, the total is 213.5.
I think my take is over on the total. I think these two teams are going to get into a boat race, especially if the first half is high scoring. So I lean the over there. I also am leaning the Warriors, but I'm at this position now where like, I'm not betting against Luka right now. I just am stone cold not betting against Luka. He is too good. And Klay Thompson and Draymond Green are going to have their hands freaking full trying to keep him from getting 40 points every single night. So I'm not betting against him right now.
Yeah, I mean, if he means anything, the Warriors in their practice made Looney available to talk about guarding Luka. So, I mean, I don't know if that means anything, but I did see that. So I wonder if he will be on him this week. We'll see. All right, Dubs Anderson has a preview of the PGA Championship with David next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Fantasy Sports Today here on Sports Grid TV. I am David Smatic, giving Craig Mish a little bit of a rest as we bring in our friend Dubs Anderson to discuss the U.S. PGA Championship taking place at Southern Hills in Tulsa, Oklahoma this week. I believe they have not played a tour event at this course since the 1990s. This was kind of a late change by the PGA to bring a major championship here. It's going to be hard. It is going to be hot in Oklahoma this weekend. I can guarantee you that. Spent a lot of summers in Oklahoma. I can guarantee you these guys are going to need their protein bars and a couple extra bottles of water because it is going to be scorching out there. I think whoever wins this week, Dubs, is going to be a very worthy PGA champion.
Yeah, mate, everything's going to be tested this week at Southern Hills Country Club. It's going to play firm. It's going to play super long, over 7,500 yards for a par 70. You've only got two par fives out there, so that takes away a lot of the good scoring opportunities for these guys. So I see the winning mark being right around 6-7 under par. Again, you know, longer track, everyone's talking about distance, but I think the key stats this week are going to be the mid to long iron play. You've got to be sharp in that department. And then again, short game is going to, you know, this is where these guys make their bread, especially this week. All the trouble is around the greens. There's a bit more undulation out there this week. You've got to get up and down off some very tight lies. A couple of these guys, if they don't have 100% confidence across the bag this week, they can't be a factor come late Sunday afternoon. So for me, it's a great field on a very tough golf course, and I do think the cream will rise to the top there Sunday afternoon.
Yeah, I mean, I do think probably the winner is going to be someone that we all know. I don't think that this is going to be, you know, and it's kind of interesting because the PGA has had, Jimmy Walker won at 200-1, Phil won at 400-1 or whatever he went off at. I don't necessarily know if this is the course for it to happen, which of course has led me into I am Lucy with the football, Dubs. I'm back on Rory again. I bet him 61. Our friends over at Data Golf. This is true, and I honestly wish I didn't know this because I probably would have been able to stay away. But our friends over at Data Golf do their true strokes gained measurements, you know. And yeah, this year on the PGA Tour, of guys in this field, Rory is the best around the green, which it feels like a lie. It feels like a lie that could be true, but it is true.
Oh, mate, I think he found it at the Masters. He backed it up at the Wells Fargo. And Roy McIlroy, he is all confidence, and I like what I'm seeing right now. You put him on a golf course where you've got to drive it both ways, a couple of dog legs out that you've got to play against the golf course. He's fantastic. He gets out of his own way. The only thing I don't want to see if Roy has a hot start yesterday, I don't like him being the front runner, but I absolutely love him 2-3 shots back going into Sunday. But again, that's a decent number. I love him in the fantasy lineups. I do think he's got the right confidence right now to make a bit of a tilt at this one. The golf course suits him. Driving's key. Rory McIlroy, you'd love to see it. When it comes down to who's got the most talent on the PGA Tour, Rory McIlroy, he'd be at the top of the list.
Yeah, I agree. I do think if one round, I would take Rory versus anybody. I really do think that he is the best. It's just stringing four of those rounds together that kind of gets. He's a big tilter. I did learn this. I followed Rory at the 2018 PGA Championship and learned he is a big tilt. He gets mad when he misses. He does not enjoy missing his spots.
We want to see a bit of emotion out there this week. That's what we like from Roy McIlroy. And he told us he's put on 10 pounds since the Masters, which is going to give you a bit extra club speed. We like that. Roy McIlroy looking dangerous again. That's what we need. So many big names in this one coming in with form, Davis. Rory, is he the man to beat?
Yeah. So the other guys I am on for sure, Patrick Cantlay, 9,100 on DraftKings. I think he is kind of a guy I would like more on difficult courses where the fact that he can't make putts is going to matter a little bit less. Because if it turns into a birdie fest, I mean, you're leaving him behind because he's just not going to make enough 8-footers. But if everyone just has 10-footers, that is, a much different equation. Matt Kuchar, I think we talked about him back at the Masters. I mean, the guy loves a paycheck. He's also very skillful around the green, so I think that's going to be strong for him here. And then, you know, an angle I've been playing, I want to get your take on this, is it's going to be pretty windy here, and there are not a lot of trees, but pretty difficult. So I'm really leaning on some of the Euro guys here, Matthew Fitzpatrick. But the guy I really like is Shane Lowry. He's at 40-1 at the sportsbooks, 8,700 on DraftKings. He's probably my favorite play and bet overall.
Mate, you read my mind. I've got Lowry on the card this week. Look, when you've got a bit more undulation, you know wind's going to be a factor. It's going to play tough. You need the intangibles. He's got the shot making. He's one of the best around the greens. He's a bit of a wizard with the wedges. And you look at the form that Lowry's found here on the PGA Tour, you know, two top fives from his last three starts. I absolutely love that he's won the British Open, the Open, if you will. He's not afraid of the biggest stage. I like what I see from Shane Lowry. Short game, grind. He wants the arm wrestle. That's what we're going to get this week. So Shane Lowry's a good pick. Kuchar, I don't mind that. If it plays tough, he can get himself into the race. He's got distance going against him. But the tougher golf course, it suits Matty Kuchar. And then Paddy Cantlay, people harp on about he can't get it done at the majors. Relax. Paddy Ice is one of the best golfers in the world, a seven-time winner on the PGA Tour. We've seen it at the Ryder Cup. We saw it at the Tour Championship. It's only a matter of time, and I like him on this golf course. If it was going to be a 25-under par job, Paddy Cantlay's not the man. But if you want grind, you want a short game, you want to go with no weakness across the bag, Patrick Cantlay. It's only a matter of time, and you're getting a fantastic number this week in both the DFS lineups and the outright markets there. Paddy Ice, I like that one.
All right, Dubs, who else are you on? What's filling out the rest of your card?
Mate, look, I think it'd be great to see Jordan Spieth get the career Grand Slam here at the majors, but I just can't get behind that number. Another guy right there at 21-1, Cameron Smith, 9,700 in the DFS lineups. I think he's motivated after what we saw there at the Masters. He's won the Players. He beat down Jon Rahm in Hawaii. He's an Aussie, so you know I'm going to be big on him this week. He's got the best short game in the biz, one of the best putters. He's got the wayward, miss off the tee, but the rough doesn't look overly penal this week, so I think maybe he can get away with it. Again, just has to get himself off to the races there. If you're looking for a couple of more value plays in the DFS lineups, I don't necessarily think these guys can win it on Sunday, but I absolutely see him being a part of the weekend here. Keegan Bradley, statistically very strong tee to green. You can get him at the 7K range. And then a guy I always include in my top 40 plays, Christian Bezuidenhout, out the South African. You look at scrambling this week. You look at strokes gained around the greens. This guy is one of the best in the business, but no one talks about him. And this is a week everyone's big about the big names, you know, all the average bettors who want to get involved, with the DFS this week. They probably don't know a guy about Christian Bezuidenhout. All the game in the world, and you get great value for him. Because this is a week you want to have a couple of elite guys in there, 11K, 10K, because we know the big names are going to rise. But you also need a couple of guys like Christian Bezuidenhout. Now, if you want another one, I'll throw in Minwoo Lee at 6,700. That's a great price. We saw him make a good run there at the Masters. All the game in the world plays a lot in Europe. We're starting to see him play a bit more in America. No one really knows about these guys.
There we go. So some of the guys I am not playing in DFS for sure, and I'm taking a little bit of action against these guys in head-to-heads as well. I just always get on the other side of Spieth in these markets. I always feel like he is a little bit overpriced. Not always against Brooks at majors specifically, but he's just playing banged up right now. And I mean, we saw it at the Masters. Guy couldn't even bend down to read his putts. Don't think he is back in playing shape. Not fading Cameron Young in matchups, but he is like, he's become the community bet this week. Like, everyone thinks Cameron Young has, a top five or whatever here. So not playing him in DFS. And there's a little bit of narrative here on Matthew Wolf, and all the Oklahoma State guys in general, because they played this course. Tulsa, Stillwater, it's all really close. But I can't get there with him at a course where, and same thing with Hovland too, at a course where I think short game is going to be really important. I cannot get on these guys.
Mate, 100%. You can add the small ball specialist to your list as well. The guys like Kevin Na, Kevin Kisdas, you do need a bit of distance off the tee this week. For Brooks Koepka, I don't know what's going on with Brooksy. I mean, has he just got too relaxed of thinking he can show up with these B-grade stuff and that's enough to get it done on Sundays? But we can't back him with any confidence. And this is a tournament that he's won twice before. It should suit him, but he just doesn't have the form there. I agree with Matt Wolf. I mean, this guy is the most erratic golfer we've seen on the PGA Tour the last 5 years. But the thing that scares me, he usually does better on the tougher golf courses where you don't expect him to do well. And on the easy courses, he puts up like 82s, 83s. So Matty Wolf, that's a great fade play. Xander Schauffele, I'll probably add one to your list there. I don't think Xander has what it takes to get it done this week.
Yeah. All right, real quick before we get out of here, the Europa League final. I mean, one of the most interesting matchups in my time following the footy overseas. Rangers from Scotland versus Eintracht Frankfurt, currently the 11th place team in the German Bundesliga, are meeting for the Europa League final. Barcelona loses on the way, Dortmund loses on the way, West Ham loses. Teams that have 10 times the payroll losing on the way. I think I'm with you. My heart wants Rangers to win this for sure.
Mate, we got to go the sentimental play. I mean, this means so much to Scottish football. All the Scottish folks going over to Sevilla, Spain, to watch their side try and get it done. I mean, it's automatic entry to the Champions League next season at plus 200. I'm going to ride with the Scottish folk. They've got their star striker back. Kamar Roof used to play there with Leeds United up front. They're going to need that. They're going to need everything to go their way. They're definitely the underdogs, but we like an underdog, especially here on a Wednesday morning, Davis. You'd love to see it.
Yeah, we do. It's look, I would encourage you, everyone, if you didn't watch the FA Cup over the weekend, I mean, the final, it was pretty much nonstop for 120 minutes, Chelsea and Liverpool. That was a phenomenal game. This is if you don't really like soccer, but you're trying to maybe get your brain ready to watch the World Cup, which is going to be coming before you. I mean, it's going to be here before you even know it. I would encourage everyone to flip on the Europa League final today. I think it'll be a pretty good game. Lots of emotion, great crowds. Guys, we are going to go ahead and run into break here real quick on the show. Of course, thank you to Dubs for joining us. We'll have coverage of the PGA Championship on the network for the rest of the week. Craig Mish will be rejoining me in a few moments here for Fantasy Reality. See you guys back in a few seconds. Stay on the grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
If you have a question for us for Fantasy or Reality, make sure you send it to us on social media. You could do it on Twitter just by following us and tagging us with your question at SportsGrid and at SportsGrid TV. And also follow along for the latest news, notes, information, picks against the spread at SportsGrid and at SportsGrid TV. That by far is the best way to follow us for all of the videos that we post throughout the day. Davis, in addition to that, of course, it seems like a little bit of a slow time in the NFL. Usually we have some sort of big story. I did see today that James Bradbury, who was cut by the Giants, did sign a contract with the Philadelphia Eagles. But before we know it, we're going to have training camps opening. But it seems like the NFL is like finally taking its first breath, it feels like, since the season ended.
Yeah, it feels like they're fine to let, they release the schedule. So basketball and hockey and baseball, they get like 2 weeks or 3 weeks here. And we'll have the PGA Championship this weekend as well.
Right.
And then, buddy, the first time someone turns their ankle in training camp, you know, you're down there in Miami. Tyreek takes a wrong step in training camp and has to go back with the trainers. I mean, you're not going to see anything else on your timeline. You're going to see, oh, if Tyreek misses time, this is what's going to happen. This will be Tyreek's impact on Tua. This, oh, we got to move Tyreek down. Like, just be ready for all of that nonsense.
Yeah. Also, one quick note here. Ime Udoka, the head coach of the Boston Celtics, not meeting with the media today, apparently has not tested positive for COVID. It's a non-COVID-related illness and plans to meet with the media tomorrow. But obviously something is going on with Boston right now. We're going to have to keep an eye on this as we move forward. Let's kick it. Time for some Fantasy or Reality. All right, Davis, fantasy baseball season. I know that you're playing in a big Champions League right now, of course, in the NFBC. And naturally, look, we're almost a quarter of the way through the fantasy baseball season. I believe we're about 20-something percent mark. Usually you get to that 25% mark, and then you hit Memorial Day. You kind of know where you are in fantasy baseball. Make no mistake about it. There have been some very big disappointments. One of them, of course, is Marcus Semien. I keep bringing him up for the Texas Rangers. I am stunned with the season that he has had thus far. To think that it was only because of playing in Toronto, I just don't buy that. Another player, though, that's really off to, you know, somewhat of a sluggish start, lately seems to be getting it going a little bit and has helped you a little in fantasy with six steals. But remember, when you drafted Randy Arozarena of the Tampa Bay Rays, I mean, you thought you were getting 20 home runs. You thought you were getting 20 steals. And by the way, you may still get those steals. He's on pace to do that, although I think he leads the majors in caught stealing as well. Fantasy Reality, Davis, are you worried? Is it time to worry about Randy Arozarena? Because the reason why we may ask this question, Davis, now is because if there is a worry, he ain't going to be playing for Tampa Bay. This is the one team that has zero patience for this. You could see him just being on the bench. Fantasy Reality, it is time to worry.
Yeah, so looking at his StatCast data, it's not great. He is 6th percentile in expected weighted on base average, 8th percentile in expected slugging. He's not taking walks this year. He is whiffing at a rate that is higher than you would expect. His outs above average is not great. His barrel percentage is really low. Basically, I'm being a nerd, but really what this says to me is either he's not seeing the ball well, or when he is making contact, he's not hitting it flush, right? Like he's just not making great contact. And it does make me worry a little bit, and you can correct me if I am wrong here, but a Rosarena was a surprise. You know, it was not as if this was one of the guys that the Tampa Bay Rays drafted and they expected that he was going to be, you know, a total star for them. Like he was a decent minor league player, but for example, never hit more than 12 home runs in a minor league season. He did steal a lot of bases in the minor leagues, but this was not a Spencer Torkelson, right? Not a Jared Kelnick. Right. So if he was to regress to being more of a league average player, I would not find that surprising. But yeah, looking at his Statcast data, I'm going to say reality. I am worried that you are not going to get what you paid for. Other than that, he is still going to steal for you.
Yeah, and I think it comes down to fantasy versus reality here in this one, because fantasy-wise, Davis, if a Rosarena has a down year and only hits, let's say, 14 home runs, because I think he's going to hit a lot more than two, that's just my opinion, but he ends up stealing 20 bases, you're still kind of getting what you paid for, and steals are almost impossible to get. So I'm going to say, no, I am not worried about a Rosarena. Now, if he was not stealing bases and not hitting home runs, then this would be a major panic. And by the way, reality-wise, as I said before, Davis, the Rays do not discriminate. If they feel like a player is not playing, that guy plays on the bench and does not play. That would be the concern for me with Tampa Bay if they were able to upgrade that position. But for now, I will say fantasy. It is not time to worry about Randy Rosarena of the Tampa Bay Rays. All right. A couple of years ago, Mattress Mack, basically a furniture salesman, if I'm not mistaken, in the city of Houston, put himself on the map for making a huge bet, millions of dollars, on the Houston Astros to win the World Series. And again, he cashed that bet. Ever since, Davis, it has not exactly gone his way. And of course, a lot of the discussion is the fact that when the team wins, he gives away furniture. It's a big promotion. But he's at it again, and he's betting the Houston Astros to win the World Series again. Probably a good bet, by the way, to win the World Series. Houston's a very good team. But I guess the question has to be asked, Davis, with sports betting now being legal all over the country, and you know these big bets are sort of out there for people. Mattress Mac is still a story. You care what Mattress Mac bets, fantasy or reality?
This is the easiest fantasy in the history of fantasy reality. I don't care one speck, one iota. And in fact, this is my least favorite consequence of the legalization of sports betting. You know, I don't know if this is Darren Ruvel or Ben Fowles, you know, these guys and these are the people who report on these stories. I don't know if they like to report on them or if people like it or if this is an edict from their bosses that this content is important, but I don't care what any millionaire bets. You know, Mattress Mac, if he was a good sports bettor, would be immediately limited by these sports books. He would not be allowed to get this action down on these games, because anyone who is consistently beating the books right now, and I hope that this changes, just gets limited immediately. Like if you go to New Jersey and you win your first 9 wagers on points bet, guess what? Your next wager, you're going to be able to get down like $8, right? That's just kind of how it works. What I would be interested in, and of course we'll never get this because these places would never give up their information, but if we could get a report that this sports betting syndicate X is on the Astros in this series and they were able to get, right, you know, money down at all these, I'm super interested in that. Give me that content. I would eat that up. I love like good informational investigative reporting on sports betting, but yeah, I don't care about Mattress Mac at all.
Yeah, I it's a fantasy for me too. I think that these big bets were really interesting when you heard the stories of sort of how he had to get the money down. He went to Mississippi in one place and Houston. And it was cool at the time when Houston won the World Series. But since PASPA's been passed and everybody could bet and things are a lot more transparent, Davis, you hit it on the head. I mean, if he was such a good sports bettor, he would not be able to bet 100,000, let alone a million on any of these teams. It would not be possible. And also that being said, he does this sort of as a hedge against the furniture sales. I mean, he freely admitted that a couple of years ago too. So Yeah, the million-dollar bettors fantasy, I think probably people like a car wreck to see him lose. Maybe there's a percentage that becomes interesting. But yeah, I'm, you know, who cares anymore? Remember before sports betting was legal, it was Floyd Mayweather. Oh my gosh, he bet $1 million on that. Now it's like, oh, big deal. Anybody could go do this now. And I think people understand that that is the case. All right. Finally, now, this is obviously very different for me than it is for you, Davis, but in the 80s and the early 90s, it was a very highly anticipated event when the Sports Illustrated swimsuit issue came out, especially for being a young man or a boy at that time. You would go to your local shop. It would be there. It would be like, wow, there is the cover. Again, there was no internet, Davis. We had no clue who was going to be on the front. The only way you'd find out is maybe at the 11 o'clock news or something else. Now, obviously, it's a lot different in terms of the publications of Sports Illustrated. But nonetheless, feels like there's an honor involved here. So I will ask you, Davis, they named four different models yesterday on the front of the Sports Illustrated. In fact, Kim Kardashian, I believe, is one of them. Fantasy or reality, being named an SI swimsuit cover model is still a cool thing. Big deal. Fantasy reality.
Yeah, no, I gotta go. I gotta go fantasy here. This has not been something that I, like, honestly, it feels like the only time that it ever ends up being discussed or talked about is if there is some type of controversy, like, right. What's that? Ashley Graham, I believe, was the gal who is a like not a typical petite swimsuit model. She got, I feel like she got the cover a couple years ago. Maybe I'm making that up. But yeah, no, I don't care. It's like this is got to be one of the most antiquated things that people still talk about, because if you want to see pretty ladies, you just get on Instagram. Like, it's just it's like, and probably the photos, you would have already seen them, like any of the you know, like really cool location photos or anything, you would have already seen, like, you would have already seen it on Twitter, you would have already seen it on Instagram or whatever. It's I'm not even totally anti-magazine, because I think we did this as a fantasy reality once. I do still get a magazine that comes to my house every single month, so it's not as if I'm even entirely anti-magazine, but there's like literally no reason for this thing to still exist.
Yeah, and fantasy, and I would guess that, I don't know if the shelf life, Davis, if I'm accurate here, I would guess in the next 5 years, I'll say, we'll have a final swimsuit model cover of sports. Yeah. I would guess that this will eventually go away. It'll be, and by the way, to get a final buck, do all the people who have ever been on the cover before, I think this is going away. I would tell you, though, you know, I mean, back in my day, old man stuff, Davis, getting Sports Illustrated in my mailbox or on the shelf, I 100% subscribed, I don't remember when, to Sports Illustrated. And I remember thinking, like, who is going to be on the cover? Is it going to be Michael Jordan? Is it going to be somebody in baseball, Joe Montana? And always waiting for that to come and not knowing. I sort of was disappointed, Davis, to go to my local grocery, whenever that was, to see the magazine there before I got it at my house. It was like a movie spoiler alert. I was like, oh man, that ruined it for me. So I was a big fan of those. And by the way, the writing was great too. A lot of things have happened, of course, to that company since then. You know, but fantasy for me. What is the magazine, by the way, if you don't mind me asking? What is it that you subscribe to?
So it's like the last skateboarding magazine that still exists, that still pumped. There were a lot when I was a kid. I think there were like five widely, like, nationwide circulating ones in the United States when I was a kid. There is just one left, and you know, I'm doing my part to keep that, because it's like, you know, you got to vote with your dollars, and I think that it's like something important to still exist. So, and I, you know, I flip through it. Do I sit down and read every article? Absolutely not. But yeah, still one magazine. What about you? Do you get any?
If I do, it's by accident, you know.
Yeah,
if I
get do, the PSA one. PSA sends me one.
Yeah, I get PSA too. Yeah. If I do, it's because I bought something that gives it to me, and then when I go to my mailbox, and I don't have a big mailbox. When I go to the mailbox, I'm all upset when they're like stuffed in there. I'm like, it's just stuffing my mail. You know, like, this is no good. So, nothing that I read, unfortunately. All right, coming up next, it's time for the Sports Grid 60. Stay on the grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Don't forget, coming up at 2 o'clock Eastern, you can join me for a new edition of Newswire. Our contributors from the Sporting News and Legal Sports Report will be with us, and we'll also have a preview and hear from the participants in tonight's Western Conference NBA Finals. All right, let's go over to Davis Matic. He's got today's Sports Grid 60.
Craig, I am officially ready to call it. Major League Baseball reacted to the lack of runs being scored at the beginning of the season. Now, I don't know what they did. I don't know if it's the change in the balls. I don't know if the humidor stopped. But looking at some of just the home runs per week and the runs per week numbers, the we did a fantasy reality about this, I think. You know, we were talking about that. Just, I mean, events are down overall. Home runs, RBIs, steals, all of it was down in the first month of the season. And look, we got 5 home runs in an innings last night. Joey Gallo is finally hitting some home runs. Aaron Judge, by the way, looking like he was right to turn down that contract extension. That guy is going to get paid huge bucks in free agency. So baseball has, it's all good. The ball is flying again.
All right, I'll shift over to golf. Of course, the PGA Championship is tomorrow. Been really hard for me to get out there with all this Little League baseball I have going on now, All-Star Team baseball too. But I would say it's always a funny time of the year for people who own golf courses and people who work at golf courses, because there's basically 3 or 4 times a year where you can't get a tee time, and this weekend is going to be one of them. So word to the wise, PGA Championship is here. Tiger Woods is going to be on the course. Everyone is going to want to play golf on Saturday and Sunday after seeing this Thursday and Friday. Get your tee time in now, or you will not be playing until next week, which is fine, by the way. But hottest time of the year is always when we have major championship golf going on. Always seems that way. All right, that'll do it for our show. Thanks, of course, to LTN and of course, Ryan on the graphics, and Danny as well. And for my producer, Brett Levy, and co-host Davis Matic, I'm Craig Mish. I hope you enjoy the rest of your day, and I'll see you back here at 2 o'clock Eastern. Great.